my heartbeat.
My watchdog design.
I've got quite a long reading tonight. It's taken from Romans chapter 8, if you want to follow it. It's verses 1 to 3, then 5 through to 17. This is what it says in the NIV version. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the Spirit is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we might also share in his glory. What I'd like to do tonight is sort of expound that a little bit. There's a lot of talking about spirit and flesh and this, that and the other, and it could be quite easy to get mixed up. But what Paul is talking about there is saying there are two arenas in life. There's the normal everyday world that everybody is born into, the natural world, the one that we use our five senses in. And he calls that flesh or material world, if you like. And that's the way I'll be referring to it from now on, the material world. But what Paul says also is that the material world isn't all that there is. He says there is also a spiritual world. But we don't get automatic inclusion into God's spiritual world, because it says in Ephesians that we've actually died to the spiritual world. So we have the material world and there is the spiritual world, but not everybody has access to it. It's there, but you can't get in. We think of the material world, and if you look at the universe, it's vast. You know, you've seen, I'm sure, the different photographs that you get from NASA and from other telescopes around the world of the huge galaxy that we're in, and the fact that there are galaxies apart from that. And the distances that they talk about between stars, between galaxies, are just mind-boggling. We can't actually take it in. They're talking about traveling at the speed of light for years to actually get to different places. So it seems huge. Yet the fact of the matter is that compared to the spiritual world, it's tiny. The spiritual world is huge. And one of the reasons is because it isn't actually bound by dimensions. You know, if I passed this sort of iPad to Philip and said how big it is, he'd say, oh, it's about sort of, well, I'm thinking he'd probably be working in Imperial, so say it's about 9 inches by about 5 inches and about 1/4 inch thick. Well, in the spiritual world, you don't have 9 inches by whatever. There are no dimensions. The other thing is that in the material world, there's time. You know, the clock says that it's just gone 6:30. You can't go back to 6 o'clock because the time's moved on. Well, in the spiritual world, there is no time. So God can actually be to us in different times at the same time, which can be quite confusing. But that's because he's working in the spiritual world. The spiritual world doesn't have the same restrictions that the material world has. And Paul says that not only are you in this sort of place where there's a material world and a spiritual world, but there are actually two ways to live. We can live, just like a lot of other people, in the material world, and only the material world. That's all we ever think about. That's the only place that we ever work in. That's the only thing that we ever have thoughts about. That's the only place where we plan for. That's the only place that we're working 100% of the time. But Paul says there's a spiritual world, and we need to be living in both. Paul says that for Christians, there is a new outlook. We can see things differently. See things that we haven't seen before, and experience things that we haven't seen before. Something that's beyond what we would expect. Something that's so different, it takes a bit of getting used to. About, I think it'd be about 25, 30 years ago, a friend of ours went to Japan. And he said he didn't speak Japanese, he didn't read Japanese. And he says it was very, very difficult. He says he got into Japan, obviously, on the plane. And the first thing he wanted to do was go to the toilet. He says, but I couldn't find it. The toilet signs that they had in Japan were so unlike the toilet signs he'd seen in Britain or around Europe, he hadn't got a clue where to go. And what's more, he couldn't even ask somebody where to go because he didn't speak Japanese either. And he says that was quite a tricky time. He said basically he had to wander around until he sort of followed somebody who seemed like they might be going to the toilet. I mean, he could have ended up on another train somewhere else, but there you go. But it was so different to what he was used to. The signs, the symbols that they use were completely alien to him. And I guess it's also like children when they start to read. I remember when Esther started to read, suddenly she started looking round and she'd see a sign and says, oh look, that says Gunthorpe. Whereas before she could read, she passed by the sign, seen the sign, didn't understand the sign, and it meant nothing to her. But suddenly she saw it and she understood it. She was in another realm. And you found then that she was reading everything. Labels as you were going shopping. Signs all around. Books, whatever. This fascination that there was a new world that suddenly opened up to her. There was a time when she was unaware, and like us too. A time when we were unaware. And then suddenly, it's a whole new world. We can actually find out where we're going because we can follow signs that tell us where to go. And it's not in Japanese. So for the Christian, when we become a Christian, there's a new dimension opened up to us. I work at the University of Sheffield. Some areas in the university are public access. You might imagine, you know, they're giving lectures and such like, so anybody's got to come in. But there are other areas where you have to use a swipe card to gain access. And each person who starts at the university, and obviously the university isn't the only place that uses this sort of system, but everybody who starts and gets a swipe card will have what they call, on that card, general access. So there will be areas that everybody who's an employee of the university can get into. There will be other areas, specific areas, certain areas, restricted areas, that your general access will not get you into. You have to be given access. And if a member of the public comes out and wipes the bank card down the swipe, it won't let them in. And becoming a Christian is like getting the swipe card to the spiritual world. Suddenly, you have access. Suddenly, what was restricted, something that was held back from you, suddenly, you can get into, you can experience, you can know. You know, there are areas around the university that I will have access to that I've never been in. But I've been granted access. Sometimes Christians can gain access to things, never actually go there. They're shortchanging themselves. We have something that we're not taking advantage of. Paul says that there are some problems with this material world and this spiritual world sort of thing. One problem is that we can live as though material world is all that there is. There's nothing else. It's simply a mechanistic thing that just follows on. There's another problem. Once you've discovered the spiritual world, you can think that the material world no longer matters. All that matters is the spiritual world. You can try and live as if the material world doesn't matter anymore. James, could you pop the PowerPoint on for us, please? Okay, this is not going to test anybody. Okay, you can all look at this and just give me the answer. The thing is, though, if you just looked at one of those that are there, either the two or the five, and said, well, the answer's two, well, you're ignoring the five. Or you could say, the answer's five, but then you're ignoring the two. You need both. And that's a bit like the material world and the spiritual world. We need both. We need to live in both. Without either one, we have an incomplete answer, or in our case, an incomplete life. To ignore one component and say that it's simply a material world is wrong. Some people will say that all you see is all you get. There is nothing else. People are simply soft, biomechanical machines. You don't actually have real thoughts. All they are is chemical reactions in your brain that give the illusion of thought. All that people are is just complex machines. That would be looking at that equation and saying the answer is two and ignoring the five. But you can go the other way. You can say that the body is irrelevant. You can say that people's situations are unimportant. You could say that the material world is a passing phase and it's not worth anybody's trouble. In which case, you're saying the answer is five and ignoring the two. If we only live in the material world, we'll find that there's always something missing. If we try to say the spiritual world is all important, again, there's something missing. People who try to live in the spiritual world and ignore the material world, it's often said about them, they're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. And Paul is saying that to exist as God wants us to, we need to live in both. To live life to the full, we have to engage in both worlds. So how do we live in God's realm, this spiritual world? Well, in verse 5, it said, those who live according to the flesh, or those who live according to the material world, have their minds set on the material world. Why do we do what do we do? Because we want to. All we do is what we want because that's all there is. Children initially are incredibly selfish. The only one that matters is them. You'll see them when they play. If they want a toy, that's their toy. Hopefully, as they grow, they learn about others. They learn about sharing. They learn to work with. They learn to accommodate. They turn in turn to consider They might even learn to work for somebody else, for their good, so that they might get to a stage where they hold back for themselves that others can go ahead. There's a certain autonomy, a freedom. But as we found out over these past few years, our freedom that we claim in this country is fragile and can be taken away from us very quickly. But if we're simply occupied with material concerns, we are shortchanging ourselves. It's a limited way of thinking. It's living for now. It's a limited vision. The natural life. And it's very short. Verse 5 also talks about those who live in the spiritual realm. They've been awakened to the spiritual world. They've been made aware of the existence of God. They've been made aware that He rules, and yet He gives freedom to choose. He loves, and yet He gives freedom to reject. He knows what's best, but He gives freedom to disobey. The best way, Paul says in Romans 8, is to align ourselves with what God wants and to be led by His Spirit. You might say, well, if I'm always doing what He wants, why is that the best for me? The fact of the matter is that He loves us and He wants the ultimate best for us all the time. The greatest love that you could ever experience in this world is a pale, very pale shadow of the love of God. We're told that the ultimate marriage that we see on earth is a very dim picture of how God values people. Verses 6 to 8 in Romans contrast the two different states. Paul says that if our mind is occupied by the material world, we can't even please God, because we're not taking spiritual things into account. And if we're not taking spiritual things into account, because if He's a spirit, we're not taking God into account. In fact, it says that if we're simply trying to live in the material world, we're hostile to God, because we're plainly saying He doesn't exist. It also tells us that if we're simply living in the material world, we'll experience what everything in the material world experiences, and that's death. Everything comes to an end. Everything ceases to be. Everything in the end that's in the material world will come to a halt and stop. But when people's minds and beings are opened up to the spiritual realm, first of all, we have peace with God. And that doesn't just mean there's no arguing, there's no difference. It means we can be at rest with God. We can be at ease with God. It can mean there's no animosity and we're just happy to be in His presence. And that peace can settle in any situation. We can have a terrible time on earth, but the peace of God can rule in us, so that in that situation we have the ultimate peace. In the spiritual realm, we can have life without end. The body might decay and die, but God tells us the spiritual world will never end. The thing is that it's actually possible to be a Christian and live like an atheist. We can live as though God doesn't exist. We can live outside the spiritual realm. We become a Christian, but we simply work in the material realm. We're only concerned about material things. We're only working on the material level. We're only seeing material ways and means. We're only affected by material matters, and we don't take God into account. If we do, we're missing out on so much. If we live like that, then we sacrifice the peace that we could have, the wholeness and well-being that God offers us. If we do that, then we sacrifice the ability to rest in the deepest darkness that this world can cast upon us. The psalmist says, "When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." We can have dire situations on earth, but in the spiritual realm, we can be illuminated by God. And the fact of the matter is that because the world doesn't give us the spiritual side, it can't take it away either. If we act as if God doesn't exist, then we can lose the joy that he will put in our hearts. If we live as if God doesn't exist, we can lose the acceptance and security that we have in God. If we live as if he doesn't exist, then we can lose the value and self-worth that he sets in us. But the fact of the matter is, we can live in the spiritual realm and access all that God has. God has opened up the spiritual world for us, and he wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to enjoy him, being with him, talking to him, experiencing him, working with us and for us, being with us every moment of the day, being the one who, as we were singing earlier, has plans for us. We can fit in with those plans, which are far better than any plans we could ever make. And the fact of the matter is that God's plans don't depend on us. They depend on him. God rules, but he doesn't make us slaves. He makes us free. God accepts us, he adopts us as part of his family, and we can call him Father. There, forever, waiting for us to call out. You know, Stacey was saying that when they were off at Filey just this last weekend, there was a girl who got lost. Couldn't find her parents. People were actually trying to find the parents for her. But you know, as much as she cried, as much as she shouted, she didn't get their attention because they weren't there. God never leaves us in that situation. When we call, he answers. He's never too far away to hear. God accepts us as we are. You know, there are no second-class citizens in heaven. God takes each and every one of us as we are and makes us an heir. He makes us an inheritor of the blessings of God. If we live in the spiritual realm, we can read the Bible that some would just call a book, and God can speak to us through that. He can set his word in our hearts, a word that gives us life, a word that gives us direction, a word that tells us just what we need to know. You know, there was one time when Julie was upset because of what was happening and things were going all wrong. She cried out, "God, I feel like a worm." She opened a Bible and she read these, "Jacob, O worm, I have heard you." I'm sure there are others that can say, "God spoke to me through his word." Reach out, because God wants to speak to every one of us. And as we live in the spiritual realm, we can have him speak to us. As we live in the spiritual realm, we can talk to God, or, as it's called, pray. We can connect with God. We can tell him our cares, our concerns, our worries, our requests, and get answers, because God is interested in each one of us. If we live in the spiritual realm, we can join with God in the greatest adventure we will ever know. Living in the spiritual realm helps us to live in the material realm, because we live in the right way, the best way. God planned this life. He knows the best way to work through it, and he can guide us in that. When we live in the spiritual realm, we're still in the material realm, but God wants to aid us and help us in this world, in this material realm. If we're simply in the material realm, you will find that it will sap hope. Because you see, everything's coming to an end. Richard Dawkins, who often speaks about evolution, one time was lecturing in Australia. He then said how he believed that life came from nothing, got to where it is, and then eventually will die. One questioner at the end said, "Because of everything you've told us, can you explain why I should get out of bed in the morning? Because there is no hope. What you do is nothing, a blip, and what's it going to matter in the long term? If we simply live in the material world, our hope gets crushed and removed. But God fills us with hope that there is more, and he actually fulfills his promises. God can fill us with hope. God can give us more than we could ever imagine. I don't know how good your imagination is. Sometimes you go to the science fiction things and see all these CGI animated stuff and think, wow, where's that come from? God has got things far beyond what anybody can ever imagine. And his hope that he fastens in us lasts not just a lifetime, but for eternity. The offer is there to have the spiritual world opened up to us to become a Christian. The offer is there to have our eyes opened to all that there is and all that God is wanting to give us. All that God wants us to engage with and enjoy. The choice is ours. Will we fully engage with the spiritual world? The question is simply like this. Will we put up with the mediocre, or will we engage with the majestic? The choice is ours.